Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Steve Jones Show. Bob Buhner here up on Broadcast Mountain. Steve Jones on his way. And we'll be talking Penn State football. We have a special guest from the Washington Post who covers the Maryland football team for Saturday's homecoming match.
Roman Stubbs, I called up the Washington Post and said, is there anybody there that doesn't talk about politics? So they gave us Stubbs. I said, great, perfect, we're in. We've got him and Johnny Holiday today, the great one himself.
Excellent.
The play-by-play voice of the Maryland Terrapins, football and basketball.
How long has he been covering Maryland Terp sports?
37 years.
Is that all?
37 years.
And so, Vince Scully has him by 30.
Well, that's why he and I do go back, because I'm 35 years Penn State.
Right.
With basketball, and he is 37 with Maryland. So we go back. Now, neither one of us really want to admit that.
Exactly.
But,
he would.
But.
79 would have been his start, I guess.
Yeah, it would have. And the first time he and I met was at the start of the 82-83 season. Penn State played Maryland in Baltimore at the old Baltimore Civic Center. And so it was Lenny Bias's first game, as a matter of fact. And Johnny did that game. I worked it for Penn State.
And was that Dick Carter at the helm for the Nittany Lions?
Dick Carter and Lefty Drizel.
Wow.
Yeah. How about that?
And that
Dick Carter, Lefty Drizel.
In fact,
his son Chuck Drizel, by the way, played for him.
That's right.
So.
Lefty, those were the days in the ACC conference for Maryland. Obviously, predates the Big Ten.
Oh, and believe me, that is one of the tougher things for the Maryland people. Is giving up the ACC part of it in basketball. Maybe not in football, but in basketball, yeah.
No question. I mean, not having Duke, North Carolina, et cetera, coming in to Maryland for a basketball game every year is, you know, something I'm sure that the Maryland basketball fans, of which there are thousands and thousands, are kind of disappointed to see go by the wayside.
And it is very tough. We're also going to have our high school football previews today. Our announcers, including Mike Ferlazzo, who is now, who used to do those games? I'm trying to think.
It's so long ago that I've forgotten, actually. Let's see.
I think he wears a suit now.
Yeah, he does. And a tie on occasion.
What is his name?
It's on the tip of my tongue. But, yeah, Mike Ferlazzo, he's done a great job. And the Shikellamy Braves have done a really good job.
They've got Jersey Shore this week.
Oh.
And the suit 2 years ago ripped Jersey Shore. And he's the only announcer ever to fire up the opposing team.
He did a good job of it. As I recall, the Bulldogs from up north did a pretty good job. But this is a really good Shikellamy team this year, Steve. Really good.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I'm looking forward to hearing more about it. And Sealands Grove, and talk about Lewisburg, we'll talk about Milton. That's all coming up in the next half hour. Tomorrow, we're going to have for you on the show Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, and my brother will join us for picks. He's crushing me.
He is like way ahead. It's not even a fair fight, is it, at this point?
At the moment, no. The only thing that's unfair about it is I'm getting money for this and he's not.
Yeah. And what you're saying is then there are no side wagers amongst the brothers over the final outcome.
I mean, look, he can win as many games as he wants as long as the paper goes in the right direction.
Exactly. Now, if they start sending paychecks up to Connecticut, we know something that he cut his own deal. That's what tells me.
That's right. I'll get concerned.
Yes.
Very concerned. All right. Madison Bumgarner was not good. He was great again last night. Yeah. He is the best postseason pitcher of our current era. I mean, no doubt.
When was the last time somebody pitched in a playoff game a 9-inning complete game shutout of another playoff team? I'm not sure how far you go back for that, but darn it, that was good last night.
Well, obviously Roy Halladay.
Yes.
Through the no-hitter against the Reds in the playoffs. But that was impressive.
And how about the pitchers for the Mets? I mean, they had a shutout going for 8 innings.
Well, you know what? Syndergaard, this is interesting. Syndergaard's an outstanding young pitcher, and he really pitched well last night. But here's one of the problems that you do run into in the world of pitch counts, Bob. When you are a strikeout pitcher like he is, you're going to throw more pitches along the way because you are a strikeout pitcher.
Yeah, he was getting a lot of 5-6 pitch batters. There's no question.
Right.
Especially early on.
Yeah. And that makes a difference. I mean, look at what Bumgarner did. He threw 14 pitches total the first 2 innings. Well, it's going to keep your pitch count down when you're doing something like that. And again, Syndergaard did, by the way, nothing wrong.
No.
I mean, zero wrong. He went out and pitched his game. It's just you do have to expend more pitches in his style of game as compared to Bumgarner. And Bumgarner is just this absolutely great. I mean, there's nobody you'd want to hand the ball to in the deciding game more than him.
And now Syndergaard and the Mets get a vacation until spring training in February, March.
And they've got they've got some starters on that staff that need time off.
They're hurt.
Yeah, I mean, they're hurt, banged up. And that, you know, the Mets, I give them credit for making it because it was a tough road to make. I think they went, I want to say 27-13 their last 40 games to get in.
That was what was announced last night as well. Yep. Down the stretch, they were one of the hotter teams in baseball, no doubt about it. And that saved their season.
Right, exactly. But again, as I said yesterday on the show, I am not a believer in, wow, look at what they did down the stretch. Like, everybody starts fresh in this thing. You know, you'd be amazed how suddenly you get yourself going again just by winning one playoff game. I've never been a big believer in, wow, look at how they played down the stretch. That's not usually how it works.
Yeah, I was just saying that to the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah, because last year down the stretch, they were scorching hot last year. This time, they weren't. They won it.
Yeah, exactly.
Now they get Texas, and we'll see how it plays out. They've got Texas starting at 4:30 in Arlington. Red Sox and Indians tonight. Bauer for the Indians. Rick Porcello for the Red Sox tonight. Not David Price. But when you go 22-4, you earn the opening game start.
Yeah,
and Rick Porcello went 22-4.
Yeah, and the manager's just going to go out with the baseball and say, here, you're 22-4. Yeah. Go get us one.
Right, and they need that. They'll need that. We got a lot coming up today. Roman Stubbs, Washington Post on the show today. Our high school football announcers on the show today. Johnny Holiday, the voice of Maryland today. Tomorrow, we'll have Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, in my brother with his picks.
I'm going to say with his hot picks.
I mean, it's just...
Listen.
He's just crushing me.
I'm going to Vegas in about 3 weeks, Steve, and I need his private number because I can actually make some money for both of us while I'm out there, given how hot he is.
I have to tell you a quick story about Dick Girardi. Now, Dick Girardi knows the horse racing game better than anybody, right?
Absolutely does.
Penn State's going to the Mohegan Sun to play Duke and then either Cincinnati or Rhode Island. That's going to be in November. And we'll go over at some point to Racebook.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the last time we went over to Racebook, because I'm gonna do the Duke game and then go to Rutgers and do the Rutgers game. So I'm going to be there in Connecticut Friday night and not New Jersey. And the last time we went to Racebook, Dick says, all right, now pick this one, this one, this one, this one. And he's going through all these picks. But Dick doesn't just pick the winner. He's trying to get superfectas, trifectas, things like that. So all these kept coming up as losers. And Jeff Tarman kept going up to the window, and he put the money down. And the woman finally said to him at the window, he says, you haven't had a great night. He says, well, my guy over there is the guy that picks that picks them for us. And she says, I think you need a new guy. Now, again, so then Jeff goes back and he tells Dick the story. You know, we're all sitting there. And Dick says, hey, yo. He says, I'm not telling you he said, well, I could pick winners and you can win a couple dollars here and a couple dollars there. He says, we're trying for the big score.
Yes. No question. That would be one of the great things to do with Dick Girardi is go to a racetrack.
Oh, the woman said, I think you got to change guys. but again, Dick was not picking winners.
No.
He was actually going for superfectas, trifectas, perfectas, things like that, because that's he was trying to score big. He said, I can pick the winner. He says, I picked the winner in all the races, which he did. He actually did pick the winner in all the races. But he said, no, we're going to go this, 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 and this. Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay, great.
Yeah. So you throw $2, $5 down, and you can win $1,000.
Right, yeah, you know, I can tell you right now, nobody won $1,000. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us. High school football announcers coming on next half hour, and then it'll be Johnny Holiday, the voice of Maryland football basketball, and Roman Stubbs, Washington Post. Bob Buehner joining us today, along for the ride with us as always. Bob, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Thank you, Steve. It's great to be with you this Thursday. Steve, it is an absolutely stunningly beautiful, gorgeous day here in the central Susquehanna Valley. Just why we live here.
It's interesting. That topic has come up out on the practice field a couple times, and I said to a couple of the coaches, I said, now, this is the state college I know.
Exactly.
Gorgeous day, perfect day out there, and it's been like that every single day. Now, they're talking about maybe a passing shower on Saturday, but that's about it here, and we're looking forward to that. But every day, deep blue skies out there, not a lot of wind, you know, trees are turning just a bit. It's terrific out there. So we're looking forward.
Yeah,
Now here it's homecoming here in a double barrel.
Yeah,
tonight is the. In fact, for the next 28 hours here, State College is your home for a parade. Because they've got the State High homecoming parade tonight. And then they have the Penn State homecoming parade tomorrow. Okay. So there you go.
Steve, is that a lot going. Is the homecoming parade tomorrow night simply because the football game is a noon start on Saturday?
No, if it was the game was at 8:00, it'd be at the same time. If the game was at 3:30, it'd be at the same time.
Okay.
It would, you know, so that doesn't factor into it. It's a time where really people can attend, and the weather for it's going to be really nice tomorrow, which is great. So we're looking forward to that, and that's part of it. Floats and bands,
oh, yeah,
and fire trucks and things like that. And State High has theirs tonight, so it's homecoming parades all over the place the next 28 hours here. So you know, if you want to see a parade, get your fill of parades. All right, I can guarantee you by about 8:00 on Friday night, you'll be all paraded out here.
And speaking of starting the homecoming week off in a real fine fashion, how about the Penn State women's volleyball team last night?
Great win in 5, beat number 1 Minnesota. Got off to a really rough start. Penn State did not play early in this last night, and then they kicked it into another gear and played really well. And the key is, too, is that for Minnesota, they had not been involved in a five-setter all season. Now, Penn State had not won the other two five-setters, but it's the third time they were involved in a five-setter this year. And you could just tell that they'd been through that grind before and had the experience of it because they really finished well. Simone Lee had 30 kills last night for them. Haley Washington had a season-high 16 kills last night. And that was obviously a great win for them. They're now undefeated in Big Ten play. And they've still got Nebraska coming up here. So Nebraska is the defending national champion, and they finally had their streak of being unbeaten snapped. An interesting season because Penn State has not lost in the Big Ten yet.
You know, and Penn State women's volleyball, for those that follow the Olympics, just a minor little sport there, they've sent a few Olympians who have come back with medals. So this the team we're seeing now is really a team of future Olympians.
Actually, on Friday, I had a chance to see Krista Hamato-Dietzen and Alicia Glass and talk to them briefly on Friday over at the Nittany Line Inn at the Penn State volleyball luncheon. They were there. And I know they were introduced on the field on Saturday, but it was great to see them back. Two players that won bronze medals. And, of course, naturally, when Russ Rose gets up in front of the group and he's making his speech, and before he introduces them, he says, because he took them on a trip to Brazil when they were in school. And he says, I'm sure you had a lot more fun on our trip to Brazil. He says, after all, we won every game.
Dig, dig, dig. But that's a great way to start off the homecoming with beating a number. I take that as a good omen for Saturday's football game. Not that I'm superstitious.
I never think about these things.
I do.
As you know, I don't think about these things. I don't. I think each entity is one unto itself. Next half hour, our high school football announcers will preview Shikellamy, Selins Grove, Lewisburg, and Milton. Games that you'll hear on the Sunbury Broadcasting family of stations on Friday night. Johnny Holiday, the play-by-play voice of Maryland in the 4 o'clock half hour. Final half hour, Roman Stubbs, Washington Post. He'll be the only Washington Post reporter you'll ever hear that won't break down the debate. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right. We'll start out with News Radio 1070 WKOK and Shikellamy taking on Jersey Shore. Jersey Shore motivated a couple of years ago when the former play-by-play voice of Shikellamy football said Jersey Shore is never good, and they haven't lost since. Mike Ferlazzo is the current voice of the team. Mike, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Yeah, Steve, it's good to be with you. And actually, I'll tell you what, Jersey Shore has really had Shikellamy's number of late, winning the last four games in the series, including two wins last year in the playoff game, 41-13.
Exactly. So let's get to Shikellamy. They've played really well throughout the course of this season. Give me some common threads that's allowed them to play well.
The first and foremost thread is turnovers. They have forced a bunch. Their defense forced five more last week in the 20-6 win over Shamokin, and that gives them 19 now on the season. The team is a plus 12 in turnover margin, which is pretty remarkable stuff. So, if defense wins championships, maybe that's why the Braves right now are leading the Heartland Athletic Conference Division I standings with a 3-0 record, and they also lead the District 4 Class Quad A standings as well. The other thing that they do real well is run the ball behind that vaunted wing tee. And again, I think it's just that they have four really skilled runners led by Gabe Tilford, their fullback, who's a junior. Joey Folk, their sophomore, is kind of their big play home run threat out of that halfback spot. They also have Lamir Mitchell, the senior, and Pearson White, who also can get it done. And, you know, Tate Krankowski's not a bad runner, but he's been a little dinged up lately with that bad ankle. But he is back this week, Steve. They won last week without their starting quarterback, but it was out to practice last night. And Tate was throwing the ball pretty well and seemed to be moving pretty well as well.
Yeah, they beat Shamokin 20-6. I know that's a game that they've been worried about. What does it tell you about how they played that they went through and won that game by two touchdowns?
Yeah, it wasn't real pretty. And I'll tell you, Shamokin threw them a wrinkle. They were preparing all week long for a 4-4 defense, and Shamokin came out in a 5-2 and really stuffed the box. Pretty much knew without Tate Krankowski that the Braves were a little bit one-dimensional, and so they kind of had to figure that out a little bit. The turnovers were really what set them up with the short field, but really the offensive line did start to assert itself. They still ended up with over 200 yards rushing before the night was out. And probably the best thing about that is it was a good stimulation before they played Jersey Shore on Friday night, because Jersey Shore, that's the way they beat Shikellamy. They go against that wing T, and they try and line up and put eight, maybe sometimes nine guys in the box and pretty much defy you to run the ball against them. And also they put a lot of pressure on your quarterback if you do go back to throw it. So I think the fact that they were able to run the ball against a team that was really defying them to run it is probably impressive and something that will be a good motivator this week.
Defensively, how has Jersey Shore played this year?
Well, again, they have 22 sacks against their opponents. I know two of their opponents out of their six games, and they're 3-3 on the season, haven't even run for positive yardage. So they really still line up there and really get aggressive with you defensively. That's what they want to do, is they want to stuff the run first, and if you do throw the ball, they're going to come after you and try and get to your quarterback before he can go through his reads and possibly get that sack. So I think that's a bit of a concern for Shikellamy, because, again, Tate Krankowski, even though he's back, has certainly the sprained ankle, and they obviously rely predominantly on the run, but at least with Tate back there now, they have the ability to throw the ball as well, a little bit more than they've had. Although I have to tell you, I thought their backup quarterbacks last week, and they did use two of them. Gabe Stilford actually took the direct snap kind of from the Wildcat formation, and Trey Cunningham, the regular backup quarterback, he did a pretty nice job, particularly Trey in the second half, I thought, really ran the offense well, completed a big third down pass. So maybe down the road that's something, if Tate would get banged up again, that they can rely on too.
All right, Mike, thanks so much. That's 7 o'clock, the kickoff tomorrow night at Shikellamy, which will be a 6:30 airtime. Appreciate it very much.
Yeah, it's homecoming out at Chick, so it'll be a big game, particularly with Jersey Shore coming to town. Thank you, Steve.
Is there a parade tonight?
Although, no, but there is actually a spirit night tonight. So they're having the big bonfire over at Shikellamy Stadium, and I guess all of the fall sports teams will be over there, the cheerleaders and the marching band as well. So it is a big week for Shikellamy.
Well, as long as it's not at the Suits house. All right, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve.
Let's bring in Ryan Brandt. Eagle 107 is where you're going to find Sealands Grove football. They're at home with Mifflinburg coming up tomorrow night. Ryan, first of all, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Oh, thanks for having me on again.
26-6, they beat Jersey Shore last week. What impressed you, especially now that they've rolled back-to-back wins over Berwick and Jersey Shore?
I was super impressed with the kids that filled in spots and actually changed position. Some kids actually had to change number. It was that drastic positional change. And they filled in for a bunch of guys that were starting two ways that couldn't play. And they stepped up, and it's almost like the team didn't miss a beat. So it's a Sealands Grove team that I've watched each week get better and better. And then after coming off a big Berwick win, going up to Jersey Shore, a team that has really tested Sealands Grove in the last couple of years, a bunch of young kids had to step into new roles. They stepped up, and to me, that's a sign of getting some depth, and it's only going to make you better coming down the stretch here.
Defensively, how well have they now played the last 2 weeks? Because obviously they've been under some duress.
I think they've been amazing. And that's been the staple for Sealands Grove anyway for such a long time. I mean, that 3-5 defense just gets at people. But they have a lot of experience in the secondary. Teams just aren't really passing on them. In the Jersey Shore game, really Jersey Shore put one drive together, and it was off a fumble around midfield. They had some momentum. They took it and scored. But the rest of the game. I mean, Seals Group did their job, gave up a couple nickel dime plays, but nothing major. And, you know, the week before against Berwick, I mean, basically did the job, held Berwick to 0 points for three quarters. So this defense in Seals Group has been their staple. It's what they build upon, and it's just solid. It's good all around, and they're starting to develop more depth in their younger guys.
Mifflinburg's coming off a tight one where they lost to Central Mountain last week. What's the quick thumbnail on them and the keys to the game?
You know, they're such a hard team to attack. I mean, there was a lot of hype coming into the season. They were going to be much improved. They've shined here and there. But I think ultimately, I think people from Mifflinburg are a little down. I think it really just comes down to what Thielensgrove does in this game. I thought Mifflinburg was going to get that Central Mountain win. They didn't. I think really this game comes down to just the Thielensgrove execute. Does their defense come out and do what they were doing? And does their offense, led by Logan Leiby and senior halfback Campbell, do they continue? Leiby had a big week last week, 348 yards. The offense was really solid at the end of the game last week. They had a 23-play, 11 minutes off the clock TD drive to steal the game. They basically wore out the entire fourth quarter. So to me, it really comes down to what the Thielensgrove do and to dictate the outcome of this game.
Ryan, always appreciate it. Eagle 107, 7 o'clock tomorrow night, 6 o'clock the airtime. Appreciate it, Ryan.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, let's go to Steve Williams. And on Talk Radio, WMLP 1380, Milton will be back in action tomorrow night against Mount Carmel. Steve, first of all, welcome. It's great to have you with us. I feel like the schedule to this point has not done Milton a lot of favors.
No, and it doesn't get any easier for them. I mean, last week they had the defending AA state champions, and this year they traveled to the home of the winningest high school football program in the state of Pennsylvania. It doesn't get any easier from there as they have Montoursville next week as well. So, but, you know, with Mount Carmel 2-4, they beat Danville last week. Now, Danville is nicked up a little bit. They didn't have their full side against them, but still their second and third team were able to run through Milton a few weeks ago when they played. So, it's just getting tougher and tougher as it goes on.
I don't care what team you have. There are usually a couple of guys that end up being standouts. Who are a couple of guys that have been standouts for Milton so far that you feel like every game you can count on?
Well, one of them is Brent Engelman. He's a starting right tackle and also a linebacker. He's a senior. He has played really hard. I'll tell you, he's just kind of led the team in tackles, and, you know, he's got his nose around the ball. And it's just been a real good anchor for that team. Really what I look at is I look at some of these kids that are coming along that I think are going to be pretty good in the future, including their quarterback, Phil Davis. And they have another kid that actually has been playing. He's been getting some snaps in as a backup quarterback, just a freshman, but has been doing a really great job at linebacker, and that's Tim Spradley. He's not a real big kid, but he looks like he's got the frame to put a few pounds on, and he will be okay. As far as the other players that that are doing well, Alex Garcia is a very good tight end, and Jaleel Garrison has been doing some good work in the backfield.
You mentioned it doesn't get easier by playing at Mount Carmel, but they're an under 500 team at this point. So what are a couple of the keys going into this game, especially in the first half, to keep themselves in it?
Well, they got to score, and that's something that they've not been able to do. There have been teams that they've been able to move the football against, and then they will commit an inopportune penalty. They're really not turning the ball over much this year, which is surprising for a team with that record. But they've got to be able to get the football into the end zone, maybe to put a little pressure on Mount Carmel. There's just beginning of the year mistakes are still happening that they need to get away. You know, the offside or a block behind the play that really doesn't make any difference. They need to get away from that kind of stuff to help them stay in the game. Where they've had some issues in the last couple of weeks is that with such a thin lineup and the teams they've played that have had you know, second, third, and last week, I think, you know, Southern probably could have put a fifth team out on the field. They had so many kids out there that they're just getting worn down, you know, because they're chasing so much. And, you know, it's not a matter that they're not in good physical shape, but they're playing both sides of the football for the whole game for a lot of these guys.
Steve, appreciate the time very much. Good broadcast tomorrow night.
Yeah, thank you very much, Steve.
Steve Williams, you'll hear him on 1380 Talk Radio, 1380 WMLP. George, welcome. Great to have you back.
Great to be here. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. Let's get to Lewisburg. Lewisburg's going to get Danville coming up this week, so we're looking forward to that one. Let's talk about last week's game, first of all, and how it played out for Lewisburg. Tough one to Montoursville, but they're a good football team. What did Lewisburg do well, and where did they come up short?
They finally got a running game going. They had Trey Delbaugh move to running back. He ran for 116 yards and 18 carries. He had a 25-yard touchdown run, and it just opened up a lot of things for them offensively. They had a 73-yard touchdown pass to Dylan Farinato off of play action. And they returned a punt about 65 yards for a touchdown. So they were actually ahead of Montoursville at one time, but Montoursville is a really talented team, as you know, and they scored two fourth-quarter touchdowns to put the game away last week.
All right, now you talk about the fourth-quarter performance. Is this a question of depth for Lewisburg, or was it just a question of talent?
I think it's a combination of both. They don't have a lot of depth because they have had some injuries along the line this year, and which has really hurt them because they substituted a lot at the beginning of the year. A person might go one series in offense, one series in defense, then sit out, and then go back in on offense or defense, something like that, and they lost that. But it also was execution. Montoursville just did a really nice job of executing their offense in the fourth quarter.
Danville's a banged-up football team. How do you see this matchup?
I think it's going to be dependent on whether Lewisburg can run the ball. They run a little different defense than Lewisburg's used to seeing, where they run a kind of a 3-5 defense, but they stack their linebackers. And they do a lot of stunning with those linebackers, and it's really hard to run through between the tackles. That's Lewisburg's game, running game, running between the tackles. So if they can establish some of that run game, I think they'll be okay. Danville doesn't throw the ball much, and probably Lewisburg's strength is their rush defense. They do a pretty good job with a rush defense. So it'll be interesting to see how the game plays out.
And that will be at Lewisburg coming up tomorrow night at 7. You'll be on 100.9 The Valley beginning at 6:30. Appreciate the time as always, George.
Thank you.
Greg, I think I called you George. Greg, thanks so much. Sorry about that. We will come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
So we got a lot going on. High school football coming up tomorrow night at all of our stations.
Lots of fun Friday nights.
Yeah, it is. It'll be Milton will be in action at Mount Carmel. That will be on the Talk Radio 1380 WMLP. Steve Williams, of course, just on with us. Mifflinburg's at Sealands Grove tomorrow. That's an Eagle 107 at 7. 6 o'clock the airtime with Pat O'Brien, Ryan Brandt. Greg Wetzel and the gang will be on Lewisburg at home with Danville on 100.9 The Valley. That will be at 6:30, 7 o'clock, the kickoff at Mike Filazzo and the coach Dick Hort with Shikellamy hosting Jersey Shore. 7 o'clock, the kickoff, 6:30 the airtime here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. So a lot going on. And, of course, Bucknell at Holy Cross on Saturday on Eagle 107 and Penn State hosting Maryland at noon with a 10:30 airtime here on News Radio 1070 WKOK Saturday. So a lot going on.
Absolutely. One of the big games Friday night that is not being broadcast on Sunbury Broadcasting, but I know that a lot of fans sitting in the stands at the four games that will be broadcast will be very curious about the biggest game in the state probably this weekend, and it's Southern Columbia, the defending state champions, playing Montoursville, the Warriors. Montoursville's ranked number 2 in the state in AAA, and Southern Columbia ranked number 2 in the state in AA. Last year, Steve, in the district finals, 56-50 in favor of the Tigers from Southern. But as you can tell from the score, it was a shootout. And Bryson Mussina for the Warriors of Montoursville, just having an incredible passing season. And so that ought to be a great game. And I think what will happen is we'll all be watching our favorite game and listening to it on Sunbury Broadcasting, and everyone will be wanting to know what's the Southern Montoursville score.
And, of course, on Eagle 107, the postgame show with Sean Carey will keep you up to date on that and everything else going on as well.
Sean returns tomorrow.
Yes, he does. He will be back tomorrow. Next half hour, Johnny Holiday, the voice of Maryland football, Roman Stubbs, Washington Post. In the final half hour today, baseball playoffs roll on at 4:30 this afternoon with the Blue Jays taking on the Rangers. Meanwhile, the Reds, that'll be in Arlington, by the way, Red Sox and Indians tonight at 8, both games on TBS.
Yeah.
There you go.
So, and then we've got some college football and NFL football, et cetera, et cetera. So this is like a sit-down at the in front of the TV, have the computer on as well. That's what I do. Follow all the action on every sport imaginable.
Well, I'll have the Red Sox on tonight. My team's playing tonight, so
yep.
I'll watch that. I'll watch that this evening. I'm not going to.
You've only been a lifelong Red Sox fan, so this is a good thing.
Yeah, was it the Cardinals are playing who tonight? The 49ers?
Yeah, they're, I don't know. Because at this point, it's baseball season still.
Yeah, Arizona's playing tonight because I know Carson Palmer won't play. Who the heck are they playing? I thought it was the 49ers, but I'm not sure. Yeah, they are playing San Francisco tonight. And then the college game tonight is Temple against Memphis. And there's no interest.
I was gonna say, geez, that's a tough one to watch.
Well, that's one where ESPN just gave up and threw something on. Thursday Night Football, I really started to get into it, I don't know, about 14, 15 years ago. It's like, yeah, I really got things started. But now, the NFL has taken over Thursday night. We got the base playoffs on now. I'm more interested, really, in the Friday night game. I feel like, chance to kick back, relax, watch a little football on Friday night. I don't really get out to a high school game that often.
Friday night for me is sitting in the stands watching high school football. Nothing better.
Yeah.
Nothing better. I pay $5 to get in. I think it's the best bargain going.
Yeah. It's a little tougher for me sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll leave it at that.
Yes, it is. Those road trips.
Especially a night before a Penn State game.